Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path, recording from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
It's like listening to the non-original Broadway cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. It's not going to be what you think. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I've been disappointed by that multiple times. Like, I went digging for some sort of revamped Jesus Christ Superstar. And
I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's a good soundtrack. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time someone says, hey, we redid this tune, I think, yeah, they've got it all figured out, right? It has every possible element to rock and do cool things if they want, and they always just cheese it up so bad. And plus, what was that guy's name that played the original Jesus, Ted Neely?
Yeah, it was the guy from, who sang Smoke on the Water?
Deep Purple.
Yeah, he was the lead singer for Deep Purple.
I mean, he's a monster. Yeah. He's a monster of a man, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know.
He's a real skinny, wiry fella.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, like, stature-wise, he's not a monster, but I mean, he's got, like, the craziest, screamingest voice you've ever heard, you know? And, like, I feel bad for anybody trying to audition for this thing. In fact, I went and saw the play version of Jesus Christ Superstar when I was like 12 or something with one of my mom's friends, you know, and they said, we're going to go see this. And I actually loved the soundtrack at that age. And so we go see this thing, and Jesus is wearing khakis and a white t-shirt. And I said, what is this? What is this?
That's not my Jesus.
No, my Jesus don't wear no khakis.
Hashtag not my Jesus.
Right. And then the band was like, there was only like six guys in the band.
Yeah, that's here's the deal. Once they leave Broadway, they let go of the 40-piece musical, and they send you with a guy with a synthesizer and like a snare drum.
Well, yeah. They don't charge quite as much when they get to the Civic Center as they do in the, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can't pay the professional oboe man to make the bus.
The professional oboe man.
So hey, man. I never actually have seen it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen it either. Am I missing out?
I remember I would sing some of the songs in my head, like some of the parts of the tunes, and I'd stop myself, and I'd be like, wait, can I be singing this? Is this blasphemy? I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know if you played a song from it, I would not recognize it.
So Ben and I were talking about this earlier. There are parts of that, like when it came out, obviously, it was considered sacrilegious, you know, almost across the board. They made some insinuations about Mary Magdalene.
Yep.
And, you know, the character of Jesus was marred. You know, it's something that from an outside of a biblical worldview that, you know, I could see how they would extrapolate about Jesus. It's not true, but like, there are things that they took into account of his character that weren't true.
This really is not your Jesus.
Yeah. But there are parts of that movie where they nail theology that, you know, a lot of churches won't touch, right? Like they nailed, you know, the Ben was talking about this earlier about, you know, Christ's coronation and his kingdom establishing when he was on the cross, and like they nailed that part, they got that part right.
Yeah, the visuals around that and the audio around his kingship, they got better than I've seen it done in a lot of places. Like a lot of, especially crucifixion narratives, like they're so focused on the suffering and not the outcome, not what it's actually doing.
You haven't seen
our
Easter play.
No, that's true. That's true. Perhaps it's coming around.
Every church I've been to that has an Easter play thinks that they're the first guys to come up with this trapeze string operation.
This will be great.
You know, like if Jesus flies out of places, you know, like, you know, boys, you could probably just pack that in. The khaki Jesus convinced me, and he wasn't on no string.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose here's the deal. It's like I don't get my theology from Jesus Christ Superstar just like I don't get it from the Shack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't run any risks having picked up something from either one of those things because I'm not looking for it to replace my Bible.
I can't wait for the Facebook fights on The Shack.
Oh, it's going to be outrageous.
Have you read The Shack?
Yes. I'm excited for that one.
Boo-Boo going to see it?
I have not read it.
I never read it.
Mostly now, because I don't read books.
Yeah, so now, Boo-Boo, after having read it,
yes.
did you have a repulsive reaction to some of the contents like
no,
some people do?
So when I read it, I was actually kind of really new in my faith. And hadn't really had a lot of foundation of true biblical study. And
so there's a good start.
I think so.
No, it was accurate. Of course, no, I didn't know accuracy.
Now ultimately, I don't think, and I actually, I got it from a friend of mine that gave me the CDs of it. So I actually listened to it in my truck while I was driving. Or in my vehicle while I was driving. But it did not replace any theology for me, and that's why I wasn't upset about it.
Well, you put it in its context.
Yeah, what I allowed it, what it to is. Do. Was make me think. That's it. That's all I was allowing it to do. was, well, this is an interesting take on this. Like, if you've not read it, I liked it quite a bit. I liked the different caricatures that are put forth for the character of Jesus in his physical body and for the Holy Spirit and for God and everything like that. And it was an interesting play on that. It didn't deepen my understanding in God. It didn't deepen my emotional relationship with him, but it certainly made me stop and think about my relationship with him, which drove me to my Bible to look for more and drove me to people around me.
It's like reading a message as opposed to a translation.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's not, I don't think you should study the shack. Like, yeah. I don't think you should look for it to be, exactly like you said, it's not your replacement Bible, and it's not another translation of your Bible. What it is it's something that can make you think and go, huh, that's kind of a cute way to do that, or, oh, I thought that storyline was interesting, or that was a really interesting turn that made that character do that thing, and that's all it was. It was just personifications of who I knew Jesus to be, and it drove me back to my Bible to either fight those thoughts with it, with like biblical sound doctrine, or kind of look into, well, what does that really mean here? How do I look at something differently based off of what I got from that? And if you look at it from, it's a creative piece from someone that wanted to give a different perspective, great. But
like
I think
the Book of Eli.
The Denzel Washington movie. Absolutely. If you take that and think it's something to do with the Bible, well, no. But I mean, it's kind of cool to think about at the very end when he's doing his thing.
So is the author of The Shack a believer? Was it a Christian publishing house and everything? I thought they sold it in like Christian bookstores.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, like some of the there's major concerns around how, first of all, the personification of God in general, right? Like creating an image of which people then are dealing with God the Father.
Wasn't that an African American woman?
It is.
It was a Jemima lady.
Well, see, here, it could have been an old white dude. Like the premise of their argument is like someone has created an image of God and put it onto the screen. Well, so is every like dude who, you know, Gary Larson cartoon where somebody's speaking from the heavens. Or
yeah,
like,
I was going to say,
you know,
that's
who
not
do you
fair.
Think Gozer the Gozerian is?
What?
I don't think that's supposed to be God.
Are you a God? Yeah.
What is Gozer the Gozer?
It's from Ghostbusters 1.
Oh. Okay. When someone asks if you are a God, you say yes.
Apparently, Mike is a fan of that movie.
The Ghostbusters is the original Shaq. I haven't seen this movie or read this book.
I'll probably see the movie just because I never read the book, just to kind of see what, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I... Yeah, that seems like a weird argument that someone's creating an image of God. Yeah, it's odd.
Well, I mean, here's
to
the
think of, because you're not trying to create an image of God for people to worship.
Well, so they... that's kind of where the weird... Is it worse than, I don't know, watching girls on HBO? Like, is it any worse than the types of things people are taking in? Because I would agree it's not actually presenting a God to worship.
Right.
Is it including, I've not read it, but I've read enough. I was surprised at some of the harshness of some of the reviews.
Yeah.
So I did read some of the reviews. And like, I understand where people are coming from. I totally get it. But like, I don't know anyone who's actually read that who was looking to say, how can I know God differently? Hopefully the Shack can inform me.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right? Like it's affirmed things that they otherwise believed about God without otherwise changing, like true things they understood about God from the Bible without changing things that they already believed. And so like, I don't think, I mean, do you have to be careful taking stuff in, anything like that? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's probably just a cautious thing. Sound doctrine. You gotta be careful. You have to be careful. And there's so much crap out there.
Yeah.
That I suppose people are going to come down hard just to scare people away and protect them. Kind of like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that I feel like they're not
going to mean as a dig. I'm just saying
that they don't.
They meant well.
That's true. It does. It creates the 10 steps back for fear of taking the one step over. Right thought, wrong probably reaction. And frankly, I mean, if it's a good opportunity to say what's right doctrine, just like it is, just like you would if your kids are going to unless you're teaching them at home, anytime someone else has other influence over your kid, you have the opportunity to say, hey, what did you learn? Yeah. Okay, here's what's right about that. Here's where we would disagree.
That was a regular conversation when my girls were in school.
Oh, yeah.
What was happening? I would specifically, hey, what happened in science today?
Yeah.
oh, you had a counseling there, you know, the counseling group, they call that when they all got together with the counselor. What did they talk about?
Yeah.
And then I'd say, oh, well, that's kind of silly because this is, you know.
Right. Here's what we know. Here's why we wouldn't, yeah. we
it
don't
didn't
care
make a
about
deal
that.
Out of it. I didn't like slam against the wall and say, what? You
know, yeah. Just, what's his name? Of, I'll be up shortly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's, I mean, you can say that no one can have any exposure to anything. And I mean, that's not a biblical perspective. It just, you correct where you have to correct. If people read something and otherwise get them talking about it, and then you have to spend time making sure that you're filtering it through the right filters. I mean, yeah, that's life. That's life in a fallen world, friends. It doesn't mean, now you could take that same discussion and say, well, then we should all go to the strip club and then figure out how we should have dealt with it. That's not the right thought.
We'll meet Joel Osteen there.
why is he at the strip club?
He's got money.
can't do anything.
Money to burn. Money. Oh,
man. All the poor Christians I know, we can't even go to the strip club.
I thought I didn't go for more reasons, but apparently just because I'm broke.
Yeah, you can't afford to have a good time there.
That's not the only thing that's been stopping me is my pocketbook.
I read The Shack and I can go.
I don't care about that image.
And Jemima Jesus, I'm all set.
I haven't read it. That's a joke. Don't take that harshly if you love The Shack.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
that kind of just throws away all Christian fiction. Like, I'm a huge fan of, like, Ted Decker and Frank Peretti and guys like that. Like, I'm a big fan of reading those Christian fiction novels.
Yeah, there you go.
And, like, you don't have to take that as doctrine. It's just someone's interpretation from something.
So the distinction they would make is that they would generally say that those people aren't creating heresy, right? They're creating false or fictional accounts that otherwise accurately reflect God, right? Whereas the concern with The Shack is that it is it does not reflect God correctly. It's not there is not sound biblical doctrine in parts. There's implications of either universalism, lack of any justice on God's behalf, that he simply doesn't care about justice. There's some things obviously that yes, I have a biblical problem with. It doesn't represent God correctly.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: I don't go to The Shack expecting it to.
Right.
I don't expect it to get like anything outside the Bible. Probably not going to get God right universally. That's the risk of reading anything outside of the Scripture.
Well, yeah. When's the last time you saw a movie anyway that even that said it was biblically accurate? They aren't. I mean, they just aren't.
Right. Yeah.
Noah.
We talked about Noah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Noah's Ark. You know.
Noah was rough.
Yeah. That, yeah. Yeah. I finally saw it when I was on TV or something. I'm like, oh.
No.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We Christ followers believe in giant rock giants.
Almost lost my faith though.
Yeah. Right.
I really like the look of these rock giants.
I built some statues in the backyard. None of them moved.
It's like, oh man, this is rough. Well, the sad thing was is I had people talk to me about that movie and go, wait a minute, is that what you actually believe? I'm like, dude, don't. Just stop.
No.
Here's
the deal. We believe some outrageous things.
Yeah. We do.
Because God
but
can
I'm,
do what
I'm
he wants.
Willing to fight for the real outrageous things that I believe in.
That's right.
Yes, I do not believe that Jonah and the Whale was a cute story about some deal. God sent a big old fish. All right? Yeah. I am a firm believer in that deal. Some people say, oh, no, the whale was. Whale was the story. I'm like, no, there's nothing symbolic about my Lord God going, hey, man, you know how I created you, big whale? You get over there, you swallow that dude, but you don't eat him. And the whale goes, all right, father of everything, let me do that.
That's true. When people say, like, rock people, that's ridiculous. Eyes for legs and six wings and five heads, I'm in. That's different.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of silly, aren't we?
It's like, I don't believe rock
that
people,
one in the text,
but I read Revelation recently, and there's some sweet stuff in there.
So Jesus took that gal by the hand and said, get up, and she did.
Yeah, I'm
that's
in.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he raises people from the dead, but he sure doesn't make rock people.
Beast, sin woman, I've
never
seen.
Knew that.
Yeah, I know that woman. That's definitely real. You can understand how people are a little taken aback. And then it's kind of funny, though. It's like they go, you really believe in these rock people?
Oh, I totally got
that's
that.
That's the part that threw you off? The guy that came down, died, and rose back to life? You're completely cool with that? But the rock people?
Yeah,
you're
rock like, people's I can't what throws this. You off. Not the whole great flood thing and all that different stuff. Animals coming two by two, completely in order, no worries. No, man, I don't like rock people. Whatever.
You know what? You think that you think the fish swam by the boat? Or they had like free reign because they weren't on the boat? So they went wherever they want. You know what I'm saying? Were there two beluga whales following the ark around? Or
that'd
they're like,
cool.
We own the sea, bro. We have followed this ark nowhere.
And they doesn't bother us a bit.
Hey, man, your land was destroyed. We are all set.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder how. What kind
you think
of
the belugas were the elitists that were looking at all the animals on the ark, or just like, yeah, God didn't destroy our domain; we still live in it.
Your demonstration of kingdom living isn't rolling around on the grass. You go into the water because that's where the purity is.
Yeah,
it's where the fish got to live.
I mean, can you imagine?
He added to our domain with
is the piety of these sea creatures, right? Like God tried to destroy us with our own home.
try to breathe in this. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
I guess we're fine.
You probably oh, look, more of what I live in is coming down. I'll right. be just fine.
It'd be like the manna from the sky. I'm like, oh, no, more sustaining life. Bring it on.
God, you really brought it on this one.
I always figured we probably lost a few fish in the strong currents, though. That's, you know, who knows?
They shouldn't have been around anymore.
Yeah, we should take a moment.
Moment of silence for all the fallen species in the...
Because there's some fish fossils, you know, that are, you know, suddenly buried by soil and everything. And I think, that's probably...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. Here's the deal. Is he probably left the water creatures intact because he was growing a big fish to swallow Jonah.
He's like, hey, man, you realize he's got to eat a lot. He's got to take a while.
If I start over again, it's going to take too long to get to that Jonah story.
That's right. I want to throw these guys off with a bit of evolution, so you guys keep at it.
I can just imagine God sitting there with his time schedule. Hey, man, if I don't make that big fish in a while, I think we're going to have to push Jonah back about 1,000 years. So.
If I got
to
cut him in half and have him eaten by two fish, this story's really going to take a turn.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Could Jonas be one too? Jonah be one too?
Two hungry red bass nibbled at Jonah.
And then three straight days.
They threw him up on the shore and he reconstituted.
He was slightly irritated.
That is only
slightly
more.
Large sturgeon showed
it was
up.
Slightly more outrageous than him living in the fish. So here's the thing, I will accept either.
Hey man, God works in whatever ways he wants to.
Whatever scripture wants
on
to describe.
That'd be kind of fun.
Now we've painted Jonah to be this master of the sea. Like Aquaman style that's riding on the shark. He's got telepathic powers. He's like, no, whale. Just eat me half the whale.
That's why he agreed to be thrown over. He's like, you know what? Go ahead.
He's like, don't worry, boys. This is my domain.
They're my friends. We talk.
I'm like the Triton. I'm the Triton of the world. All right, you're listening to Live from the Shack. Thanks for hanging out.
I was going to say, we just kind of went there, didn't we? That's how it happens.
Don't read
Hey,
the
man,
shack.
We should write a book.
It's like a virus.
Hey, have you read the new comic where Jonah is actually Aquaman?
To bring this to a fine point, if you're coming to Live from the Path for specifics on your theology, you may have come to the wrong area. Yeah. Please run it through scripture first.
Turn on that filter.
Jonah as Aquaman. Check.
Pious sea creatures, avoid flood.
Oh, no.
Hashtag not my Lord. I'm not afraid of this.
Actually, this is...
Hashtag not my Jonah.
This is apropos. So there was a story on Christianity Today, and it was Americans warm up to every religious group except evangelicals.
But we keep smacking him in the face.
So there was they did like a thermometer rating. Hold on. The only thing I didn't check on was, this is only over the last 2 years. So 2014 to 2016, they basically took a poll and like, what are your thoughts on these religious folk? Okay. These types of religious folks. Jews are up 4%.
Oh, good for them.
It's expressed in a means temperature. Like a thermometer.
Okay.
So the Jews are at 4 degrees.
Oh.
Catholics.
Is that equal to a percentage or no?
No, I don't know. I don't know what
the Fahrenheit or Celsius.
It's a Fahrenheit.
Okay.
I don't know what the top degree is.
You got to go ways then.
Got some sweet Kelvin in there.
Let's see. Catholics are up 4 degrees.
Oh.
Mainline Protestants are up 4 degrees. Buddhists are up 7.
Whoa.
Hindus are up 8.
Wow.
Mormons are making progress at 6. Atheists are up 9.
Yeah, right.
People are 50 degrees on atheists. This is a weird way to express this. Muslims are up 8. Okay. Evangelical Christians, flat, is 61.
We didn't move in the last 2 years.
Let's see. Here we go. So Pew's Feelings Thermometer survey of more than 4,200 adults found that even without any increase, evangelicalism remains one of the most liked faith traditions in the country, behind Jews, Catholics, and mainline Protestants. However, the movement's popularity is largely due to positive ratings from evangelicals themselves.
Yeah, we're all right.
Vote ourselves up, boys.
We're doing great. You guys like us?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, how do you feel about your fellow evangelicals? I have a 61.
Yeah. Does that mean some people are like, not for them?
We're not even room temperature.
I find it funny that like the Buddhists and the Hindus gain... You know what I'm saying? Because people read into that religion more than is actually there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we make a bunch of inspirational memes and whatnot, and then they're like, yeah, I'm a free-thinking Buddhist. I'm just looking to find myself. You're basically just saying I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to call it Buddhism.
No, yeah, that's true. I mean, Christianity has the same issue, right?
I don't do that, Ben.
Well,
otherwise, I'm not reading that Bible correctly, I think.
I would say perhaps other quotes, parentheses, Christians. perhaps have the same issue, right? Like, you identify as like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, then it doesn't look anything
like
scripture.
You're stuck in all these religious catalogs and whatnot. Have you read The Shack, Ben?
I read excerpts.
You gotta let it.
Have you read the new Jonah Aquaman comic?
Have you read the Jonah Aquaman feature?
So, okay.
Hologram?
I kind of hesitate to say this, but I'm going to, because hopefully no one's going to ever watch this.
Right on.
Oh, all right. So,
great premise,
don't share this anywhere. So, I got a friend on Facebook who's lately been, like, doing some live videos from the Capitol, where they're having some major legislation on, like, life and stuff. So, I honestly haven't investigated that deeply, but I assume I would probably agree with, like, some of the legislation.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Begins a Confession and stuff like that. Yep. Anyway. I haven't really watched the video, so I'm speaking a little bit, you know, but my understanding is like they're singing hymns at the courthouse.
Yep.
And I have to say that embarrasses me. Yeah. They're excited and applauding and saying, "Look how cool we're winning," and I'm thinking that kind of cools the temperature for me a little bit. I'm like, I don't know if am I weird? Am I just a Shaq guy now? I'm just like,
no.
I think it's just weird.
So I agree. I think that actually coincides with, remember what we were talking about a few weeks ago about the long-term effectiveness of the political landscape through executive orders, right?
We talk about
like, you may have won the battle, but I'm hesitant as to whether you're actually positively impacting the war through how you're winning the battle.
So
it's a little bit like, same thing. You may, that legislation and stuff is otherwise things I agree with, but how you're doing it isn't actually helping people understand why what you think is important is important. It's just kind of, it's not dominating. I don't know how to explain it right, but like, I think it's a similar thing, whereas how you're accomplishing the right things doesn't mean that long term there's a benefit, because how it's being done, you're like, I don't know about that. I don't know.
It just doesn't quite smell right to me. Like, I mean, it's one thing if like they're about ready to start the church on fire and they're going to burn you to death, and you start singing, and it's like, hey, we're worship, you know, and it's like, okay, this is it, you know,
yeah,
and it's a spontaneous. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yep. But this is like, yeah, we're in this big battle at the courthouse.
Yeah.
And maybe I just don't get out of
it. It does kind of feel that way, because think of someone's perspective on the other side of that argument, right? Like, we fundamentally believe that they're not understanding life correctly. They're just flat out, they're just not taking it in as God designed, right? So now what you're saying is, like, not only did we win this legislation, but you're on the other side of God. He opposes you.
Yeah.
He's against you.
Yeah.
And whether you're
not
saying
that. And now
we're
going to sing about that.
That's right. You're not saying that, right? But like, that's how I would take it in.
I think that's how because I mean it's a good thing. It's great. It's wonderful.
Right.
But I'm like, you know.
Yeah. Well, like, how are you winning people over for Jesus if we have some kind of victory? And I say that in parentheses there, or in quotations there. Throwing it in their face by, hey, now that you're wrong and might be losing this, we're going to ascribe worth to our God in front of your faces. And make you feel even more alienated than the God we originally want you to be a part of.
So, like, I think I'm a little bit with Dan. I'm a little bit on the, because, like, you know, publicly, like, celebrating in worship for something that has honored God, you're like, why? How could that not be right?
Yeah.
But it does have a little bit of that vibe where I don't know how, I guess maybe I'd have to think about how you would do it differently. But it does kind of feel like that. It does kind of feel like our God won. You were on the other side of that, and you lost. But the Christians have a dual responsibility to progress the kingdom by growing the kingdom, and that includes the people who are on the other side of that issue. I simply have always known the difference because I've been raised with that perspective. I don't have to fight some of the things those people are fighting with. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it becomes difficult then to accomplish both. We kind of just decided to celebrate the one, and in itself, it's not bad. Our job is just a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe that's some of it.
Go ahead.
I think that's why, like, in general, people are kind of cooled down maybe a little bit, or at least not warmed up. Honestly.
Right.
Because we do things like that, and we don't mean it. We don't mean it like, ha ha ha, you're going to burn. But it's, we communicate it all the time.
Yeah.
We're bad, we're good.
And some of that has to do with, like, society in general. We have thin skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not only, when somebody opposes us, we don't think, I wonder what their legit viewpoint is. We just think, that man's a jerk, he hates me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He opposes me, he hates me as a whole person, right? And, like, I mean, I think that, and I know better. You know what I'm saying? When someone disagrees with me, I'm like, he hates me from top to bottom. We're enemies now. We are not friends. And like that is not the case at all, right?
Right.
And so like because we live in that society and that's the way that we operate, when you have a victory and then attach God to it and say our victory is solely from the Lord, we will praise Him for this. The thing is like how would you balance that out? You know, are you down at the Capitol singing hymns anyway? Just because God is God.
Yeah.
You didn't accomplish damn nothing.
Exactly.
You're like, God is great. Yeah.
And
like
even if
him.
We lose something legislatively, are you still worshiping God for being exactly who He is?
Yeah. Say, God will be worshipped on Zion. I don't care what law you
right.
pass.
Yeah, exactly.
What law you don't.
It does not matter. I'm not a part of your kingdom. I'm a part of His kingdom. And regardless of what legislation you come up with, He still reigns supreme.
I'm still going to put my arms around that little girl who's thinking about an abortion and try to love her into
life.
Yeah,
I would much rather do that.
Yeah.
Then march on any kind of place so that we can have legislation for what we call morality.
I mean, I don't know that it's not both. There's a responsibility to the extent that you can influence, and that is the means to which you can do it. Like, do we fight for protection for those who can't defend themselves? Yeah, I mean, I absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's where we fail to embrace the very broad and difficult responsibility that kingdom workers have, which is. We are never the gloating party because we are on the side of right or we are weeping with the wrong. But like all of it is still our work. And so I think like when we get too heavy on one or the other, and stop administering broadly, it's where our perspectives get real. We increase and contribute to blindness by how we've otherwise handled it. Like, can I mourn with people or even for people who are on the other side of this issue who like are looking and saying, what about the woman that is in this terrible circumstance or who was raped or who, you know, can't take another child and is in a situation with an abusive partner and like they feel like they have to have the baby. Hey man, if we can't sympathize, if we can't look at that situation and recognize that people are trying to solve a problem with sympathy toward one of these parties, we're foolish. It's just that it's not the right solution to the problem and it's not taking in a whole perspective. But if we're guilty of that same thing, we're actually contributing to the blindness on the other side. And so, we should have be very careful that we don't have a false sense of our own victory when there is despair on the other side of an issue like that.
Well, it's true. I think it points to the, we were talking about this a little bit earlier this week, but like sometimes we forget who our enemy is, right? Like we like to attribute our enemy as other people, right? Like your enemy's Trump or your enemy's Black Lives Matter or your enemy's the Democratic Party or your enemy's whoever, right? Those people are not your enemy, right? Those are your people. That's your community. The enemy is the one that's trying to convince them that there is a better way to live without God. And so like you're forgetting who your enemy is sometimes. And so sometimes when we gloat, We gloat against the wrong enemy. Nothing got accomplished there. I mean, it did. You know, we're legislating something good and something that we believe in, right? But the truth of the matter is like, we should never look at it as a victory over those sinful people or those other guys, right?
Right.
Like, it's still a fail that they are under the impression that, they can live a life without God. They're constructing Babylon on their own. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that's the sad part. Our real enemy is the deceiver that's trying to convince people that that is not the deal.
Right.
And so, as soon as we forget who the real enemy is and who the real victor is, we've done both. Like, when we gloat in that way, we've taken the victory seat away from Christ, and then we've pointed the enemy as the guy, as the other people. Right? And, like, and that's not their intention. I'm not painting those guys that were doing that as their intention.
Right.
But, like, we will do that. As a group, as a church-following evangelical group, we will do that, and it will look exactly like that, and it's actually what we meant to do. We just didn't think it through.
Yeah, so I suppose the two things to be real careful of is, like, make sure we're working under the right notions of victory and the right notions of enemy. And where we claim rightly celebrate, but otherwise are blind to the fact of what we have categorized as our victory through certain means, against an enemy has probably misdefined both of what those things actually should be. It's a much broader perspective, even though it's a positive thing. We always like Christianity is just a very nuanced thing where like the minute we locate an enemy and properly identify him as such, it means that we've properly located someone who we're to treat as a friend, right? Like, or who are we to be gracious to and who we are to forgive. And so like our ability to identify, enemies is only for the fact so that we know how to treat them well based upon biblical precedent and forgiveness of Jesus. And so like, we just got to be very careful of where we stop listening to scripture along the route and celebrate the fact that we dominate an enemy when our reaction to enemies is otherwise not supposed to be that. And so I think we gotta be real careful with what we do and that we don't take in full counsel when we're otherwise engaging in things like that.
And there is, not to say that there is benefit informing folks, that they are on the other side of God on this thing.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's just fact. And the Bible will spell that out, which means we'll spell that out. It's just the victory in your blindness, like our celebration in your blindness. That's not warranted, right? Like, I would never celebrate someone's blindness to the fact that God is who he says he is, and joy comes from where he says it comes from. And so, like, if we celebrate that, we really are celebrating the wrong thing.
It said that, and maybe this doesn't surprise you guys, but I found this a little bit hard to believe. It said part of the reason for evangelicals' middling ratings is lack of exposure. The proportion of Americans who say they know an evangelical dropped by 9 percentage points from 2014 to now, down to 61%.
Well, that's not surprising,
61%
of people. Do you ever introduce yourself as an evangelical?
I was going to say, I think it might be just the terminology.
Okay, so now, I was going to ask that. So, like, is it possible that, like, I mean, even I have trouble identifying evangelical, especially by the comparison to mainline Protestant.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know
if anybody knows I would be.
Right, yeah. You just say, I follow Jesus.
And I even have that
I was gonna say.
Preacher title thing.
Right, and they're like, what are you, Ben?
Evangelical doesn't fit on a bumper sticker.
I feel like...
Yeah, like, is it bad that am I an evangelical? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But cool. I mean, by their definition, you know, it's just, you're not a Catholic, you're not a Lutheran.
All right, fair enough. I wasn't really
certain. I think we just...
When people ask me, I just go, yeah, I love Jesus and the Bible.
That sounds like an evangelical.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much
where I'm at.
That's their tenets. That's pretty much the way they roll. I just think we probably just don't call it that. You know, mostly if people ask, what church do you go to, or, you know, what kind of Christian are you? You're like, a regular one.
Yeah, exactly.
Follows Jesus.
One that loves Jesus.
I don't know. Why? Do you have questions?
Would you like to talk about him? Because I'm prepared.
I thought this was kind of interesting. He said, when broken down by political party, both Republicans and Democrats, ratings for evangelicals were unchanged. However, evangelicals were the highest rated religious group among Republicans, but the second lowest among Democrats, who now like atheists and Muslims more than evangelicals. Mormons came in last. Two shakes on the Mormons.
Boy, tough crowd.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
sorry.
Tough place to be a Mormon.
The only groups to rate evangelicals positively were white evangelicals, Protestants overall, and black Protestants. Both of the latter categories include a significant proportion of self-identified evangelicals. By comparison, the majority of Americans from most religious affiliations rated Jews positively.
They're the ones Jesus came from, right?
Interesting.
Hey, man, at least evangelicals have self-esteem.
Let's see. Oh, okay.
We seem to dig on us.
Here in the non-surprising category, evangelicals receive the most critical ratings from atheists and vice versa.
Oh, surprising.
They're the only two traditions to have chilly feelings toward one another. Hey, that's interesting. Jews and Mormons and Muslims don't have chilly feelings towards atheists.
Yeah, but apparently evangelicals are like, I don't like those people.
Here's true. Anybody that's put any effort into atheism at all is generally upset with Christianity and neutral to most everything else.
Yeah.
Shy of... There's certain people that aren't, like, well, Bill Maher's one of them. He's generally, I mean, he's a hardcore atheist, hates Christianity, also doesn't care for Islam.
Yeah.
So he's at least consistent. But, it is true that most atheism, at least expressed in the West, is a rejection of Christianity, not really, an agnostic towards most other things.
Interesting.
Okay. Kind of.
I don't know that I care really about all that. I just kind of...
Well, thank you for presenting it to us to let us know if we don't care enough.
I don't know. This article is rife with, like, temperature gauges and charts.
Yeah.
That are, I mean, we've had...
I normally stray away from those.
We've had a long time to try to figure out how to visually present things, especially with the internet, you know, and they've gone with this thermometer thing like you're a fundraising for a new choir robes, you know.
Raise the temperature.
I did have an atheist come to church a week ago. Did a little advertising on a tolerance sermon, and he wasn't pretty happy about that, so he thought he better come and check us out.
He looked
pretty angry the whole time.
Oh. Did he talk to you afterwards?
He snuck out pretty quick. He stuck in a little late and stuck out pretty quick.
Did he fold his arms, like in a huff, or
most of the day he was?
Oh yeah. Did he eat a donut?
I was going to say, man, I don't like these Christians, but I certainly do like their pastries.
I don't know if they gave him a copy of the Shack on the way out.
If you'd like to know Jesus,
change your ways, buddy.
Hey, man, grab yourself some coffee and a donut. Jesus still loves you.
I do kind of feel like that's wrong when they come in to spy on the joint and be upset, but they eat the donuts anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's bad human behavior, you know? You walk into a place.
I don't
like
what you're doing here, but I certainly do like your food.
I hate all you guys, but I'll take a cannoli. You know what I'm saying? It seemed wrong.
Hey, man, I feel like that's the best place to have the donut. The atheist who comes in, he goes, man, I don't really like this Jesus guy, but he certainly does make good pastries.
I'll come back for the pastries.
I'm going to keep showing up for these free donuts.
He commented a couple times, a couple different weeks on my little videos I've done. And, you know, I stalked him a little bit, like, who is this guy? You know, he had a goat head. status picture or whatever.
Wait, that's legitimately his profile picture?
It was. Now it's like a bloodied up child that he was.
Oh.
Anyway, you go to his page, and everything he does is making fun of Christians, and all of his friends are like goathead people, you know, or you can tell
super
it's
militant.
A close-knit group of people who really don't like Jesus. And but he liked our page, and so he's kind of stalking us a little bit. I'm like,
hey, cool. Hey.
Seems all right.
And yeah, he was trying to pick a fight.
Donuts.
Yeah, he was trying to pick a fight, you know, on Facebook. I said, well, here, dude, I'll sit down and have a conversation. I'm not going to engage here.
Right.
You
know? Hey, good job, Dave.
Let's talk, you know.
Hey, I don't understand why people don't show up for that. Like, there was a guy who was really upset at the election. He's like, I want to talk to a pastor about this election. I'm like, okay. I mean, that seems.
How can I help you?
Seems awesome. Let me in. Because I want to talk about Jesus, and he wants to talk about the election. I thought, certainly we'll run into each other at some point during the conversation. And he's like, yeah. And then he never showed up, and I was real disappointed.
Well,
like,
that's
I was,
too bad.
I thought, okay.
I'm ready for this.
Yeah, this seems all right.
The room, watching.
No preparation at all. I feel like we can do this. This seems great. Hey, do you guys remember Sinbad, the comedian?
Yeah.
Okay, name me one movie that he was in.
The president, the White House, or what, the president's son, or something like that?
Sinbad and the Seven Seas?
No, Sinbad was the Secret Service guy with the president's son.
Wasn't he a genie?
No, that was Shaq in Shazam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, Sinbad, he was, what was that called?
I believe Shaq's movie was called Kazam.
Kazam, thank you.
Okay, now.
He was a comedian, I know.
So here's, so check this out. I'm glad this came up. This is from Relevant Magazine. This is one of the strangest internet stories you will likely ever read. There are people on Reddit and Twitter attempting to find a movie called Shazam, which starred actor and comedian Sinbad as a friendly genie.
Yeah.
According to those who claim to have seen this movie, it came out before Shaq's critically panned comedy called Kazam and was relatively enjoyable 90s comedy. The only problem is there is no record of such a movie ever existing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Sinbad himself says he never acted in it or even heard of it before random people on the internet started asking about it.
The freaking internet.
The magazine.
They made up a movie.
But here's Mike. Did Mike not say it?
Yeah.
Mike offered it up as an option.
Shazam was like a weekly show back in the 70s or 80s. 70s,
also
probably.
A comic.
Like it was ISIS and Shazam were like back to back.
Did you say ISIS?
ISIS, yeah.
Crazy.
Like the goddess ISIS. Not,
oh,
not
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Not,
yeah. No, they had the,
yeah, because Shazam was
welcome
the,
to our Saturday morning TV program.
Oh, man.
No, it was like a weeknight thing. It was a you know, quality. The $6 million man, Shazam.
Yeah.
So it says.
Greatest American Hero.
Shazam. Yeah, sorry.
It says the magazine New Statesman has just published a fascinating investigative article about the conspiracy and some theories as to why so many people have vivid memories of watching a movie that there is no evidence has ever existed.
It is awesome.
Literally, there are no records of the movie ever being made. No photos, no old VHS tapes, nothing. That's despite cash rewards from people eager to prove it is real. Some people believe the group is falling victim to the social contagion of memory. Essentially, all of the talk about the movie is creating realistic false memories in people's minds.
Yeah.
Some people believe the movie was disappeared because Sinbad himself hated it. Some people believe it is an example of the Mandela effect, which essentially states that multiple realities have existed and splintered versions sometimes converge. In this case, in one reality, Shazam was real. Hey, now here's the thing, though. Mike did not fall to this social contagion because he does not involve himself socially with other people.
Agreed.
Which means Shazam was in his mind.
So it must be Mandela effect.
This is what I'm talking about. You have to remember who your enemy is. He's the father of lies. He says Shazam existed.
That's it?
That's the TV show back in the day.
Well, that's not Sinbad.
Is that Jim Neighbors?
There was a TV show.
Yeah, no, that was
Jim
the,
Neighbors.
That was the, what is it, the DC character Shazam, I think?
I can't answer that.
Well,
I just knew.
It's Captain Marvel. And I'm shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was just a made-up thing, but yeah, I don't know.
I didn't read the article, but I'm gonna save it for later. I'd like to read the investigation.
Now I want to figure out what that movie he was in was called.
What movies was he in, Ben? Do a Wikipedia on him.
Okay, hold on.
Look, there's ISIS.
Because I know he was...
That doesn't say ISIS.
You guys missed out.
No, my ISIS has been corrupted.
Hey, man, I've typed in Sinbad, and immediately that thing came up. Where was he in this movie called Shazam?
Okay, here we go. Sinbad.
First Kid, that's what it's called.
There they are. The kids.
He was in Jingle All the Way?
Yep, he was the other dad.
He was in A Different World? Michael Bolton's Big Sexy Valentine's Day Special?
Gross.
Good night.
He was in Coneheads.
Coneheads?
Really?
I thought he really was in like a Sinbad thing, though, because I thought, well, that's kind of funny.
He's in like Sinbad and the Seven Seas?
Yeah, yeah. I thought
He was, okay, hold on, let me check. He was on Cosby, Good Burger, First Kid, Homeward Bound 2, House Guest, Aliens for Breakfast.
He was on the Sinbad Show.
The Sinbad Show.
Did he do a skit of which he was a genie?
Oh, he did the Cherokee Kid, too.
Keep on Cruising, the Red Fox Show? No, no, I don't see any.
He was in Good Burger.
I don't see anything with him as Sinbad the Sailor.
Hmm. What was he in Good Burger?
Anyway.
Well, that's something to... That's something
I'm glad
to,
I remembered First Kid.
So he was not in Shazam. Mike, you've been taken in by society.
I have no idea.
Or multiple universe.
I'm telling you.
Splintered realities.
Wait, is that him?
Sinbad as a genie.
What the heck?
See?
Did somebody make it?
I think someone...
Someone did the Photoshop?
Sinbad on
Twitter. All right. I'm going to read the investigative piece. I'll post it out on the Facebook. You guys can read it, too.
All right.
Okay. All right. Anyway, hey, we're debuting a new segment on the program. Oh, shoot. What was it called?
What was it called?
Boova, what was it called?
What did you say? What to do with Boova?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the segment is called What to Do with Boova.
What to do with Boova.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Boova, what's the premise? So
I'm going to do it again. Hold on.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
What to do with Boova.
That was good. That was good, Boova. You live up to it.
Oh, man. All right. Here's the deal. Something recently happened to me that I'm trying to figure out how to react to. I got in the first actual kind of debate with my girlfriend. All right?
Okay.
Now, we've been together for a little over a year.
Was it about your beard?
It was about my beard. Thank you for knowing that immediately, Mike.
No doubt.
No. We've been together for a little over a year, but most of that time has been spent apart because she's in Madagascar. She sends me a tweet the other day and asked for my reaction, which we sometimes do. Like, we'll send each other random things and see, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And so we kind of had completely different reactions to this tweet, but it sparked a conversation between us that I kind of want to figure out what you guys' reaction to is and what you guys think about it. So we kind of started having the conversation of, can you love someone the way that Jesus wants you to, right? But not like them. Okay? So, like, can you just, like, straight up just not like somebody? Whether they're annoying, whether they're just a mean person, or just something about them you don't like, and still love them biblically and love them like Jesus does, right? Or like Jesus calls us to do. And so we kind of started talking, and her argument is, no, you cannot. You cannot love someone without liking them. And I said, well, that seems kind of ridiculous. What if we're married someday and at times we're not going to like each other? That's kind of guaranteed in a relationship that's going to happen. Does that mean in that time that we don't like each other? That means that our love for each other is not there because we don't like each other? And she kind of came back with the whole concept of, well, I feel like if you're loving people the way that Jesus loves them and you're trying to see them through his eyes and hear them through his ears and things like that, you are going to find the things that is there to like them for. And therefore, if you love them the way that Jesus does, you will like them. And so I want to see what you guys think about just that general premise and how you would react to that conversation or how you would react to that statement or question of, can you love someone the way that you're supposed to and not like them?
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
100%.
Any backing towards those statements, guys?
That's the way I feel.
Oh, man, you're ready for arguments in the 21st century.
Third chapter of the Shack.
Well done. Sarah Hugh, who represents the Holy Spirit in the Shack, says that it's fine.
I mean, you know, I can see her point. If you are loving people the way God says to love people, they'll be keep no record of wrongs, it's patient, it's kind, all those things.
Yeah.
However, you're still a human being, and human beings just don't like people sometimes. I can still love you and sacrifice my life for you,
but I'll cut my arm off to save you or whatever, you know, but it doesn't mean I have to like you. I mean, I might not like you at the time. I mean...
Well, okay, so kind of going against that, though, is if we are loving the people the way that Jesus does, are we going to be willing to overlook those things and not be the human perspective?
Yeah, that's what's allowing you to love them, even though you don't like them.
Yeah, you overlook those things when you have to, when it's to their benefit.
Okay.
It's not a biblical question because is not a biblical concept. You know what I'm saying? Like there's not. I don't see anything in Scripture that would otherwise point me to the distinction that we're currently making between love and like.
Pistis. It's the Greek for like.
It's not the Greek for like.
Could be.
There is a chance that wrong. Mike has created a Greek word.
It is Greek for believe.
Yeah.
He's just pulled a random Greek word that he's heard recently.
Logos. I only know a couple.
It means like. Or faith. It's the Greek word for faith. So in either case... So I think I understand the distinction that's trying to be made, but I don't know that we can land on anything firm because I don't see in Scripture that that's a distinction that Scripture is making. I think what you're trying to talk through is, it depends on your definition of like, meaning do I enjoy their company? Like when John tries to ask Jesus if he can call down fire on the Samaritans, like you gotta figure Jesus is like, you know, I don't know about these cats. He's trying to burn people. I'm trying to die for these same folk. And John's like, can we just call down the fire on them? What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
And you can't tell me in that moment, Jesus isn't like, I don't care.
Or he says Peter's a little annoying.
Like, you wicked generation. I was with you.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you brood of vipers that I love very much. Get behind me, Satan, things of this nature.
Hey, Pharisee, I'm going to die for you, but I really don't like
you. But I really can't.
You're sleeping again. You know, I mean.
Like, this is the third time.
Yeah, because I mean, like. Yeah, like is a minute by minute, second by second distinction, right? Like means I want to spend time with you in the same room right now. Love meaning that I on the long haul I would do anything for you.
Right.
I would trade me for you. That is true of my wife all the time. Whether we want to be in the same room right now with each other or not, up for debate.
Yeah.
Could be either way. Hopefully more good than bad, but some of the time it's like we're going to other ends of the house. We ain't seeing eye to eye right now.
Yeah.
But if the guy came in with the gun, I'm still standing in front of it, even though we're not the best friends at the moment.
Right. Love persists where like fatigues.
Yes.
That's the deal.
Like gets tired and
takes
a
poster.
A nap.
Yeah. Write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Let's add that to our inspirational quotes.
And
yeah.
To be fair, when they're talking about love, like Corinthians 13 style love, they're saying what love is. Not exactly what I am. You know what I'm saying? They're like, this is what love looks like. But when you say, like, keep no record of wrongs, I mean, that's just foolish. You know what I'm saying? Like, a guy break into your house.
And then, Jesus stuff is foolish.
And he show up the next night, knocking on the door.
Who are you, sir?
You know.
It's the first time I've been here.
Yeah. Do I know
you? Would you like to come in and see what we have?
That wrong?
Yeah, and he's going, hey, I forgot the remote when I stole the TV yesterday. Do you have the remote? You got fresh batteries?
I would totally give the guy that remote.
Well, that's the thing. He's already got the TV. You just won't get the remote.
It's the first time I've been here, Foos. Check the record.
First Corinthians. Check the record.
See all that sweet poster you made out of what your kid's handprints would never love? Yeah, give me the TV, sucker.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can not like them, but love them. But I think the way that she's using it, though, those definitions start to blend a little bit.
Here's the thing, though. The way that she's looking at it, though, like, I pine for that hope.
I know.
That can also be me.
This is why I want to marry this girl. Is because she goes, hey, man, I feel like if I love people for Jesus, I'm going to find something to like about them. I'm like, that is adorable and wonderful, and I love your heart on things.
Yeah.
But I look at this and go, I can't stand my brother right now.
That's right.
I want to punch him in the face
most
of the time.
You hang out with kids all the time.
But at the same point in time, I want to take a bullet for him. If some kind of assailant came in, I would take the heat for it.
Stop, assailant.
I'm just saying.
Assail me.
I wouldn't advise that.
I will take your
wound. My brother and I are two very large gentlemen. I don't think there's anyone who's going to case the joint, see the two of us walking in there and going, that's the place. I'm definitely going to take on those monsters over there and see what happens.
The Engeldingers are a dead ringer. I'm getting that TV.
Hey, man, they have like a 30-inch TV. I bet that's worth it.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think if I really thought that was possible, I would be so depressed all the time on how much I suck at loving people, I couldn't function. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I thought love and like had to be combined as one entity, every time that
I'd be an unloving fool.
I would get irritated with somebody. I'd be like, "Do I not follow Jesus? Why can't I pull this off? Why am I constantly
failing at liking people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I just don't like.
I'm telling you.
I mean, I don't hate them. I just...
You know, I got a great example. Actually, we were at the farm and home or whatever buying some chicken food this week, and the gal at the counter, she's a super nice gal, right? But, like, she just conducts herself in a way that, like, 30 seconds in, I couldn't take anymore. And my wife's looking at me like, behave yourself. I can see it in her eyes. She's like, behave yourself.
Don't do it.
And she keeps telling stories. She's like, and I went over to my grandma's house, and then she had, like, tea. And I'm not a real big fan of tea. And I'm like, will you just ring up the chicken food so we can get going here? You know, so here's the deal. I love that girl at the cash register, but I don't like her. I just want you to ring up my stuff so me and my family can get on out of here.
We got to invite her home for supper.
We got a million things going on tonight, and you want to tell me stories about your grandma and her teacups and whatnot. I'm like, we got to move this along.
Actually, that's a good point. Just because Jesus loves you doesn't mean he's on board with your foolishness.
Yeah.
You remember, like, all the times we've been going through Mark, and like, especially, Jesus goes out to pray, and they're like, hey, Jesus, let's do this. He's like, nah, we're going to go somewhere else. Yeah. Hey, we just healed a guy. More people want you to heal him. You going to hang around? No. Well, we'll get in the boat and go somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to leave now.
Yeah, no, I think you should stay. No, I'm not going to do that.
I love you. I certainly don't like your suggestions right now.
Yeah, I feel like that's honest Jesus. Yeah, I don't. I see where you're coming from. Not digging on it.
Hey, man, Prince of Peace. Just saying.
And one time he just, like, they go on without him. And he's like, you go ahead with your stuff. I'm going to go over here.
I'm going to beat these fools up in the morning. Ain't no one going to find me. I get up at 5. Just get me out to the mountain.
Jesus, can I come out of the water? I guess.
Well, if you want to. I'm not going to tell you no or not going to tell you yes.
And make you suck at it.
Yeah, I'm going to be riding sharks all over the other side.
don't make me call Jonah.
Jonah Aquaman is going to be here the whole time. It's going to be awesome. He hangs out with that fish normally now.
That'd be cool if he's down in the Sea of Galilee all by himself. God makes one version of this Aquaman, you know. He's in the Galilee, he kind of sees cool stuff happen, then he's like, I'll be here for another 1,000 years. I never get to do nothing. I survived the flood, all of a sudden I'm a big deal.
I thought I was going to get round two, but someone promised they never flooded again.
So I'm stuck in this puddle.
Throw Jesus over, I want to do something. All right, you're listening to Live from the Shack. Appreciate you hanging out with us so far. Mike, people need help. People need advice. How can we do it?
Not us. We're solid. Yeah,
absolutely. We're doing great in life. Yeah,
we're evangelicals.
And we love ourselves.
I like you guys.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm a mainline Protestant.
No, most people like me at a decent temperature.
I am a new mom to a sweet baby boy. I am, or was, very career-oriented and never in a million years thought I would want to be a stay-home mom. I will have to return to work shortly, and I'm really struggling. I have a hard time putting my little one in daycare, but I don't have a choice. I have no idea where to begin, how to select the right daycare, or what questions to ask. Any assistance would be greatly appreciated. Holy cow.
Is she married?
What?
You're in charge of a life? You don't even know where to start? I mean, there's buildings that say daycare on it. Start there. Say, hey, do you do what your sign claims? How much is it?
Hey, can you care for this child possibly during the day? Because that'd be great.
Did it say she was married or not?
It does not
say. It doesn't. Okay. I thought either, again, missed it or didn't hear it.
Yeah. So I don't mean to impress my ways upon your life, but I think you should stay home with your kid. I'd quit.
Yeah.
Directly.
How's she going to pay for that?
Huh?
I think we're assuming that she has a husband to take care of that.
If she has a husband, the modern-day daycare, unless she has a really nice job, it pretty much, you don't make much money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't, after daycare. You don't attribute to the bottom line of the family.
It really does turn out to be a wash. You've bumped up your own tax bracket.
Stay home and raise your kids.
On cell phone and going out to eat and the transportation costs and insurance and whatever. Like, you add all that together, plus your bumped up tax bracket. And, I mean, let's say that someone said, look, I'll give you $5,000 to go to work all year. Or you can stay home with your kid, and I'll keep my $5,000. I don't know a mom in the world that would be like, $5,000.
Yes. Sounds great.
I'll stay home.
Yeah, I know it sounds like we're kind of coming from a weird, archaic, biblical place where you stay home and take care of kids. Yeah. Even if you're not on board with that, you got to realize, like, from an economic perspective, it's just a better idea.
Get
your kids are going to be better off.
Home somehow.
You're going to be better off.
Start your own daycare.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Watched it for a while and decided, no.
No, watching other people's kids is not.
Yeah.
You got to be built for that stuff.
They chew up your temporary cups.
I live in a daycare right now because my mom actually runs a daycare out of the house. And so I'm greeted by a bunch of kids in the morning. I don't know how she does it.
No.
Like, they're cute kids. I like them. They all know me by name. They say good morning to me and ask me about my breakfast and stuff like that. It's adorable. But, like, I get to leave and then go to school. I don't know how she goes, hey, that was cute.
let's do that for another 8 hours.
And yeah. Like, I mean, oh. I count down hours on my own kids. I'm like, they're going to bed in 2 hours. I can make this.
She's got like 7 kids, a couple babies. I'm like, I can't do this. My girlfriend runs like 37 kids at a time. I'm like,
and they grow so fast. They grow so stinking fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it seems like forever when you're there in the middle of it. But man, it's fast. You know, figure out a way to stay home if possible.
Or
do the part-time stuff.
Once again, I'm not trying to impress my ways on you, right? But like, we did this at my house and I would trade it for nothing. This could sound sexist, right? But like, God created them women to be excellent mothers.
Yeah.
He made all of them to be excellent mothers. And right, like, and I feel like my wife would continually regret not staying home with our kids when they were young. Now the kids are going to go, they start going to school or something. You can get a part-time job, you can get a full-time job, right? Like, they grow. You got to teach them, and you got to let them off the leash a little bit, and you got to give them some space, and that's, yeah, reclaim your life. Go back and get a job, and you're a smart woman. You don't grab that career and have right back at it. But, yeah. Like, you will never regret taking those 5 years.
No.
You'll never regret it.
We were able to do it, arrange our schedules in such a way, but like, we want our kids to have a little bit of socializing stuff outside in a secular setting, so to speak. And so they had like 10 hours a week in a daycare setting. Other than that, they were always either with us or a grandparent. It was convenient. We had grandparents around, you know, so that was nice. We've never made that much money because Cheryl just didn't work that much. And that was a choice.
It's what you're ultimately paying for the ability to stay home, and like, it's a good value.
Right.
Yeah. It's totally worth it.
I drove around a crappy car and I didn't care. Because it had kids in it.
Yeah.
Right. So I was happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We always had the cheapest house in the neighborhood. It's like, whatever.
I think I'm actually really excited about that. Gian and I have had that conversation already of, like, our relationship getting a little bit more serious is actually very quickly. But we've kind of already had that conversation of what is family going to look like? What is home life look like? And she, without me even talking about it, she goes, I want to stay home with our kids. And I said, great. That sounds amazing. Then I'm going to work as hard as I have to make certain that I can do that. And you get that time with our kids, and I get to come home and have daddy time with them. That's all that matters. From a biblical perspective, from an economic perspective, and from the fact that I want my kids to have that time with her. Like, absolutely. Right. So I'm really excited that that's going to happen.
So I think our advice is you should do that. If for whatever reason or myriad of reasons that can't be done, the best thing you can do is start, the best recommendations you can get for people to care for your kids are people that also, that care about your kids. So like, ask friends, ask relatives, people that otherwise have other folks watching
talk
kids.
Talk to people who have kids in the area that have had daycares in the area and
See
if you can get a good recommendation. Don't go to like Yelp or anything, but see if you can get a serious personal recommendation from somebody in your neighborhood or somebody you trust.
I really feel for single moms. I don't, you know, man, the pressure on them and the decisions they have to make and, that's just tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's real hard to want the things that you, I mean, everybody has something like this, right? Things that you want to be able to do for your kids that you can't do. But like, once you get to that level, if you're a single mom and things you want to be able to provide or time that you want to be able to spend and like, it just cannot happen. That's difficult. That's difficult.
As every year when I eventually get the flu, I always think, I don't know how single moms do this.
Yeah. I think that same thing.
They're passing out. You're barely coherent. You know, you got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old running around and like, they do it. They nail it. I'm dying. I'm almost certain death is at the door and the Lord cannot punish
almost hoping
me
it is.
Any more than I've currently.
The Lord built us to be tough in certain ways, but I don't feel like that's it.
No, sickness ain't mine. I mean, I'll just pass out. I act like the worst. You could probably run me over with a skid loader. I'm like, yeah, I probably survived that. But like, I throw up one time. I'm like, death's coming. I don't even know.
It's not going to
I never thought I'd be so okay with death, but sounds all right.
This is not how the shack described it. I was supposed to persevere.
I don't want that dog in this house at all. He's making me angry. This is ridiculous. All right. Secular says.
Hey, actually, that's funny. Last time I wasn't feeling well, I was sitting in the bathroom. And like, I got an argument. I'm like yelling at the shower curtain. I'm like smacking it. I'm like, get back! Get away from me! It was preposterous. It was outrageous.
I didn't realize.
Ben, thank
this
you for giving us that shining endorsement for being dudes that are sick.
Sorry.
I got angry in a shower curtain.
I did.
Once.
I was mad.
In the last couple of years, I didn't realize this, but Ben and I share, like, we hallucinate when we get fevers. I mean, to the point of ridiculousness. I had one fever last year where I dreamt I was hallucinating that I could only see life in pointillism. You know what I'm saying? Like those pictures that are made up of just points, you know?
Like dots?
Like dots, you know?
Yeah.
And
just
so
the,
like
the connected dots deal?
I knew that it wasn't true, but like I looked around my room and it was all pointillism.
Yeah. Your whole life looks like an aha video.
And like, it did. Like... And my wife was pointillism and I'm like, I'm hallucinating. I'm almost sure of it. But what if I'm stuck this way? And like I could not figure out how to get out of it. I'm like, this is not true, Mike. You know this is a dream or a hallucination or something. So I put a cold washcloth on me, you know, and like the water coming out of the faucet was tripping. I couldn't take it. I thought,
wait a minute. So the foosball is getting sick are either punching the shower curtain or thinking that your world is a take on me video and everything is all.
Some of that stuff, like I remember
two. Don't get sick in the foosball.
It was 3 years ago. I got sick and like my hallucination was I couldn't get the a microphone. I thought I was in the radio studio and I couldn't get the microphone to be in the right spot. Like I would move it and then I would have a sense that it's not right. How is it not right? It's moved again. And then I would move it back and then I would have the same sense. This was on for 7 hours. 7 hours. And I'm like, I need to go back to sleep. I know this is not real, but that mic's not right. I gotta move that back. And like, I would see myself move it and then I would be hallucinating that it was off again. And I'm like sweating and I'm like, why can't I get this right? Who can't get this right? This is not real. This is not real, Ben. This mic is not correct.
Hey man, I get that scary stuff when I get low blood sugar, but I've never had that deal from a fever.
Yes, fever.
Like
I just say goofy things. My family loves it when I have a fever.
You say goofy things? Yeah. Do you punch shower curtains or possibly your life guy. Points?
Here comes Dan. Popcorn for Papa Shango. Okay, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Oh, he's sick.
Yeah, by the way, you don't have pants on, Dan.
get out of here, Zacchaeus. There ain't no sycamore tree here.
Kittens.
Come on, sharks. We're out of here.
Right. Jonah style.
Secular says, start by talking to your friends and family, asking if they know a good daycare that's good, and then make sure that any facility you're considering is licensed. Spend a little time there to see how the caregivers interact with the children. Yeah, good luck. They're always on their best behavior.
Yeah.
Shifty.
Yeah.
Go to babycenter.com.
What?
Not what I would recommend. And search the word daycare.
I'm sure. The magic of the internet, boys.
Here's the unexpected results. You will find a section on daycare centers. They will give you the information you need. You should also check with your state's Department of Social Services to be sure no complaints have been filed. I wish you luck in your search.
Man, what happened to just going, hey, can you watch my kid? And then them going, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is what happened. Yeah, I can watch that boy.
Come on, man.
That's what happened.
All right, yeah. Fair enough.
Here's some crayons in a cage. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's right. I can fit you in the crisper. I'm very glad
that I have a Jesus-loving woman that I'm hoping to marry that is just going to take
care of
my kids.
No doubt. The day that we decided my wife was going to stay home was the day that I picked up my daughter from an in-home daycare. And I went to pick her up. I went in the house, and my daughter was crying over by the stairs, crying. And I said, "What's the matter with Grace?" You know. And she's like, "Oh, she does that." I'm like, "Well, how often?" "Most days." I'm like, "You, what do you mean? How long's most days?" She goes, "Probably past couple weeks." I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "We're done here. Sorry." And I went home, and Grace got out of the car, and my wife was home, and I said, "One of us is staying home. It should probably be you." But one of us is staying home. We're done doing this, right? And, like, I had just a terrible experience. She was a nice woman. It's not like I dislike her.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, you didn't think it was important to tell me my daughter had been crying on the stairwell for 2 weeks? You didn't think that should have came up when I picked her up, say, yesterday? And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm farming out responsibilities that I asked for. And, like, I can hug and kiss and sing all I want to before that kid goes to bed, knowing she's going to spend 7 hours tomorrow crying by a staircase. Nah, we're done with that.
Oh, man, yeah.
Okay, one more. Ready?
Yep. Ben. Yeah, we're ready.
Over the years, a dear life from the path. Over the years, the people closest to me, immediate family, friends, and a few ex-boyfriends, have given me every reason not to trust anyone much.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago, I found the courage to date again and met a man who gives me every reason to trust him to the fullest. Problem is, because of my past, I'm having problems doing it. How do I move past my issues and give the relationship I'm in a fair chance before I destroy it?
Please be honest about that with him. Please, please, please have communication open about that. You are having trust issues, but you have no reason to not or to not trust this person. Tell them about it. Let them be your reassurance in the relationship. That's kind of one of the parts of it.
You know, being in a relationship, you're supposed to understand that that person has a past. You're supposed to understand that that is a person that is a culmination of actions and things that have been done to them and experiences, and you need to accept those and for who they are. Like, if you need to help them move past it, but that doesn't mean you don't need to deal with it. But if you don't give this guy or gal, I wasn't certain if it was a guy or gal in that we're talking to here, if you don't give them the opportunity to continue to build that trust and to continue to work through that, all you're going to do is you're going to live in the cycle that has happened to you, and you're not going to move past it because you're not working together as a relationship. You're there together for a reason. Communicate, please.
Yeah, you know, I tell my kids all the time, it's very important to understand who you are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where your shortfalls are, what you do well, what you don't do so well. Right? And it's also very important that when you find someone you can trust, that you tell them that. Like, I know that I will, when me and my wife disagree, I tend to move into, I want to win the argument. It's just the way I'm wired, and I forget who I'm talking to. I forget I love this woman, right? I forget that I trust her with everything that I have, and somehow I get myself weaseled into an argument mode where I'm just trying to, I want to win the point, right? And so, like, I know that about me, and so when we start talking in that area, I've told her that before. Like, I need a flag. When I cross the line, I need you to tell me, because I'll do it and I won't be paying attention and I don't want to be that way, right? And so, like, these are things you can totally share with your new man. Say, look, I've been burned. I have a hard time trusting people. Every instinct I have is going to think that you're lying to me and that you're going to bail. And so I need you to be patient with me while I work through that, but realize that when I'm sensitive to certain things, like you saying you're going to show up and you don't make it, realize that's a very big deal to me, when in actuality I know it's not a big deal, but I'll take it that way. So Right. Just a heads up. And that's fair. Give the guy a fighting chance. If he loves you, he'll fight for that. He'll get there 5 minutes early every time to make sure Yep. That's not an issue for you.
Here's my caution in this. There is a long history of people who have broken her trust.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she makes poor choices.
True.
I mean, I'm just thinking, maybe she needs to talk to some other people first and say, hey, what do you think of this guy? I'd like to trust him, but I've trusted other people that were untrustworthy. I'd make poor choices. What do you guys think?
Oh, that's true.
That's about
part of Bova's communication platform, is to make sure you're talking to other people, because you may not be a great judge of trustworthiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I can dig on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds something like I do.
It,
right?
It does. That seems right.
I would do that, and then I would do what you were saying. You know, you
way to be amicable, Dan.
I mean, I'd also do your wrong answer.
Well, by the way, I have my opinion, but I also agree with yours.
I would start saying I could be, you know, incorrect in my assumptions.
I agree with the room. Anyone else want to shout in? I agree with him as well. What's that, Jesse Jackson? Right on. Oh, yeah, secular advice. Sorry. I was just going to laugh for another couple of minutes. I didn't actually plan to move on.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead, Mike. What's secular got?
Secular says, considering your history, it makes sense that you are afraid of being hurt or taken advantage of. However, not all people are alike. Thank you for that revelation. Allow the relationship more time to develop. Don't be afraid to talk this thing out and react by jumping to conclusions and or making accusations. Listen to what he says and watch what he does. Ooh, that's great advice. If the two don't match, regard it as a red flag. However, if they do match, then count your blessings, because you may have finally found a winner.
Blind to that in the past.
Yeah.
She hears what they say and doesn't see what they do, or, you know, whatever, vice versa.
I'm going to Burger King. I brought you a Big Mac. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Those aren't the same places.
You're a lying sack of crap.
I'm breaking up with you. Yeah. You are now a part of my trail of tears of awful and untrustworthy people in my life. I should have known from the drug addiction.
I'd like to make
and
rib.
The fact that you were trying to get money on the side of the road the day we met.
Still, you show up with a Big Mac around here, that's the end.
Don't tell me you're going to Burger King and bring me McDonald's.
You think, did she say, what were the list of people that were quarrelsome in the past? Boyfriends, family?
Exes, brothers.
It was family,
immediate
friends.
Family, friends, and a few ex-boyfriends, yeah. More than two.
You know.
Wait, your family's untrustworthy too?
You know, everybody's. That's everybody.
Maybe you're paranoid. That's a good point. If everyone in the world around you seems to be untrustworthy in everything.
Mom, what do you think of this man I'm dating? I think he's a drug dealer, and he's actually carrying a machete right now.
I can't trust you. I don't trust you.
You don't want me to have love. Yeah.
You don't want me to find the man that I like and love.
He cuts a peanut butter sandwich like no one's business.
And it could be a huge peanut butter sandwich, too. No problem for Machete Jim.
Forget this. I'm going to babysitter.com. Search for Man of My Dreams. Make sure he's got a license.
Machete Jim's daycare. Come on down.
They trust him with kids. He might be all right for me.
I'll cut off the crusts every time.
Mom, what do you think of this new boyfriend I got? Yeah, he's standing on two porpoises.
And where like a weird Jonah Aquaman that's coming in.
He seems to speak well to the fish.
You hate everybody I bring home.
Says this is what it looks like to flee from the Lord's work.
Remember who your real enemy is.
All right, you've been listening to Live from the Shack. We appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. If you love the show, let us know. Info at livefromthepath.org. If it stinks, please contact Chris Roloff at the Truth Network. I don't remember what his email address is. Just Google that stuff at babysitter.com. I'm sure you can find it there. We'll see you next week. And Driven 11 and Egypt Ali will be in. We're guests off the walls in March. There's folks in almost every week. So we will see you next week. In the meantime, please be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Shack.